What humans are capable of doing is quite disturbing. Maybe this is not really necessarily news to anyone, but it's true. I mean, from smaller indiscretions to major, absolutely horrible things, when you start looking at individual stories and individual cases, and you start really identifying, oh my God, that person, that thinking person, that person who grew up this way or that way and did this and those other things in life that were fairly normal, was also capable of doing this. It's scary. It's scary to think about that. And then when you start playing the paranormal into it, or if they start crediting the paranormal with some of their acts, it even puts it into a bigger chasm of what the F, you know, is it? Is it them? Is that an excuse? Is it really something else that had influence? It's scary. It really is. And I believe in some cases, it's certainly a mental illness gone untreated. And others, I do believe there are outside influences that can feed on us and take us to places and make us do things that we otherwise would never consider doing. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, EPP bonus episode number 312. Can you believe it? We're going to be getting into some of those stories. A mother brutally murdered by her son and his friends. They're not that old. They're like tweens and young teens as they try to make a getaway to live away from the grown-ups. Does her spirit still haunt the apartment that she was murdered in? One woman wonders. And then a woman's boyfriend is so troubled by the pain that his lover's soul is in that he would do anything to make her suffering stop. He empathizes with her so strongly, he really wants to make it stop. Little does he know, he seems to be able to find some way to ease the pain, but he ends up bringing all of that to his soul. Two long, great stories today on EPP bonus episode number 312 of Real Ghost Stories Online. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. When someone's life ends in a very tragic, sudden way, does the odds of a haunting increase, or do the odds of a haunting increase? And is that haunting then going to be a residual haunting, essentially the replay of those traumatic events over and over for others to endure? Or could it be a very conscious haunting, a very intelligent one, that simply wants their story to be told and wants others to know what happened, seeking justice, if you will? That's the question we have to ask about our next story. As a mother-son relationship goes horribly wrong, take a listen. Hey, Tony, Jenny, Carol, and Harper. I want to thank you for the show and everything you guys are doing during this time. The extra episodes have been getting me through my work days while in quarantine. I'm an EPP and a gravekeeper, and I absolutely love your podcasts. I'll be changing the names of the people involved in the story so everyone is anonymous. When I graduated from college, my best friend, we'll call her Emily, and I moved to Colorado. We had first met Emily and moved to Colorado from my hometown in Iowa during the fifth grade. I remember the teacher telling us that a new student would be joining our class from out of state. I somehow knew we would be close friends, and I was determined to bring her into my group of friends. We pretty much have been inseparable ever since, and she's like family to me now. She had so many stories about Colorado and frequently talked about moving back there one day. During my senior year of college, I knew I wanted to move out of state once I graduated so I could experience living outside of the Midwest. I had a friend in Northern California, which I had visited and planned to move to that area. Then one day, Emily called and asked me if I would move to Colorado with her when I graduated. She wanted to be closer to her family there, but she needed someone to move with her. I knew this was her lifelong dream, and I wanted to move to another state, so it was a win-win. Moreover, she was my best friend, so of course I said yes. During spring break of my senior year of college, we went to Colorado to look at apartments. I was not sure what to expect since I'd never been to Colorado. I was a little nervous about getting there and not liking it. Luckily, I immediately fell in love with the mountains and the natural beauty of Colorado. I'm a big nature person, so this was right up my alley. We looked at a couple of apartment complexes in a few different suburbs of Denver. We needed something budget-friendly and only for 6 months. Emily's aunt and uncle owned a secondary home, which their son John wanted to buy once his lease was up. We all planned to move in together once John's lease was up, but we needed to find an apartment in the meantime. We found an apartment complex with availabilities in May, which was perfect. It was in the same town where her grandpa, aunt, and uncle resided. Her uncle was the chief of police in the town, so we felt a little safer being there. We signed the paperwork and reserved an apartment that would be available in May. I ended up moving into the apartment a week and a half before Emily. She was living in New Mexico and had a couple of weeks left at her job. I went to the leasing office to get the keys, and the office manager explained they would be moving us to a different apartment in a different building because the apartment they initially reserved for us was unavailable. She escorted me to the new apartment building, which was across the street from the leasing office. We were located on the second floor of the apartment complex. The stairs leading up to the apartment were located on the outside of the building, which I loved because we were still outdoors and we'd always be visible. As we started walking up the stairs, I immediately felt a weird vibe. The energy felt off, but I could not pinpoint the cause of it. I'm an empath, so this is not entirely unusual for me. I thought I was picking up the energy of the people on the first or third floor. It's not uncommon for me to be able to stand outside a home and sense when someone is upset or having a bad day. So I shrugged it off and proceeded to follow the office manager into our apartment. I loved the layout of the apartment. The apartment was open with plenty of windows and it was perfect for two young adults. I did the typical run through with the office manager and she handed me the keys. Before she left, she explained how to get to the laundry facility. It was attached to the back of our apartment. I would have to walk up the stairs to the third floor, walk down the hallway, and then walk back down the stairs leading to the second floor, and the laundry facility would be right there. This is an important detail for later in the story. I began to unpack the items from my car, which included an air mattress because the moving truck would not be arriving for another 3 days with all the large furniture. Once I was unpacked, I stood at my bedroom window observing the rest of the complex and admiring the mountains off in the distance. Suddenly, I got an overwhelming sensation of being watched. It felt like someone was standing outside the room watching me. It did not feel threatening, and it immediately dissipated as I began to walk through the apartment to investigate. I ended up just laughing at myself and chalked it up to being anxious about living in a new place. I needed to do my laundry later that week. As I began walking up the stairs to the third floor, I started to get a tingling sensation down the back of my neck. I could tell something was not right, but I had to proceed to the third floor to get to the laundry room. As soon as I stepped foot on the third floor, I came to a complete stop because I was hit with an overwhelming feeling of oppression, anxiety, and despair. The air felt heavy, and I wanted to curl into a ball and despair. It caught me so off guard, I gasped and dropped my laundry bag. I immediately knew something horrible had happened on this floor. I knew someone had died. And I kept picturing a gun and a head injury. I was stunned because this feeling was so intense and I'd never experienced anything like it. I immediately picked up my laundry bag, ran down the hallway, raced down the stairs heading towards the second floor laundry room. Once I got into the laundry room, I stood there for a while to process what I had just experienced. I knew I was sensitive due to having been exposed to paranormal happenings as a child. I had experiences with ghosts and shadow figures when I was little. I also knew I was an empath and was accustomed to picking up the energy of the living, but I had never experienced walking into an area And receiving information like that, the inner knowing that someone had died up there creeped me out. By the time my laundry was finished, I had calmed down enough to brave walking back up to the third floor so I could get back to my apartment. I concluded that someone on the third floor might have committed suicide sometime in the past, and I was feeling the emotional residue of such a tragic event. Little did I know, the event that occurred on the third floor was far worse than anything I could have ever imagined. Emily moved into the apartment a week later, and we were so excited to see each other again. We started unpacking her belongings, made plans for the evening. We ordered pizza from her favorite pizza place and decided to binge watch horror movies since they were our favorite. I decided not to tell her what I had experienced on the third floor because I didn't want to freak her out. Plus, I was not entirely sure what I experienced. In the middle of one of the movies, we started hearing intense banging noises coming from the apartments above us. It literally sounded like the person above us was having an intense dance party while slamming large bags of potatoes on the floor. This became a recurring issue as time went on. It usually happened in the evenings around 5 to 7 p.m. and would last for 3 to 5 minutes. We eventually got used to it. Emily and I have a dark sense of humor and started saying, "Oh God, there he goes dropping the dead bodies again," because the thuds would be so loud and random. We also realized the person who lived above us was a little off. Remember several instances where we would be walking up the stairs to get to apartment and we'd look up and see him standing at his window staring at us with a blank expression on his face. The second we made eye contact with him, he would start pounding on the window until we got into our apartment. His behavior was bizarre, and luckily, we did not run into him very often. At some point towards the end of our lease, his mother came to live with him for a while because he had become emotionally unstable while living there. I only knew this because I ran into her in the laundry room one day, and she seemed like she needed to get something off her chest. I could feel the anxiety emanating from her and asked her how she was doing and if she was new to the complex. She needed to talk about what was going on with her son. By the end of the conversation, I felt bad for both and hoped he'd be able to get the help he needed. One night, Emily and I went over to her aunt and uncle's house for dinner. They enjoyed having family dinners once a month when everyone's schedules aligned. We were always invited to dinner along with Emily's grandfather and her two cousins. During this evening, we'd been living in the apartment for close to 4 months. We were discussing our plans to move in with her cousin, John, in a couple of months, and we expressed how excited we were to move into the house and were looking forward to getting out of the apartment. They asked if everything was going okay in the apartment, and we told them about the strange man who lived above us and other experiences we had with other tenants. At some point, we started telling them about the loud noises and joked that it sounded like he was dropping dead bodies on the floor. Everyone in the room immediately froze when we said this, and her aunt literally dropped her fork and looked pale. We looked around the room, and Emily asked, "What? Did something happen there?" That wraps up the preview portion of EPP bonus episode number 312 of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you'd like to hear the rest of this story and have access to all 312 bonus episodes of the show, become a supporter of the program. That's what we call an EPP, an extra podcast person. You do that at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's only $5 a month. And in exchange for that, you get commercial-free episodes of the show. You get 312 bonus episodes exclusively for EPP members, not released to the public. You also get video content. You get our ebook. You get our audiobook. You get all sorts of extras that support this show and allow us to do it. This is my job. This is not a hobby. This is my career. So in order to continue that, we need support to allow us to do it. So if you like it, please support it. That's how we keep this pirate ship afloat. And I hope you enjoy the stories that we bring to you each and every week. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And thanks for the support.